Begin the current daf Masechet Yevamah, daf Tzadi Vav. Begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing in the theme of the previous Mishnah, which is the theme of this parak, talking about when the spouse goes overseas and they hear the reports that that person has died. So the previous Mishnah was speaking about when the man hears that his wife had died. So the Mishnah continues with the following example. Amar lo mesa ishtacha. So she had gone overseas, and then they came and told him that your wife had died. So he went and married her paternal sister, meaning that they shared fathers, but they weren't from the same mother. Then came a report that Mesa, that his second wife had died, because she also went overseas. So he went and then married the sister of the second wife, Me'ima, who was her maternal sister, but not from the same father. So, as Rashi points out, it comes out that this third wife is unrelated to the first wife. Now, then they came and told him reports that Mesa, that his third wife died, and he married the sister of this third wife, Me'avia, from her father, meaning her paternal sister, but not her maternal sister. So it comes out that this fourth wife is unrelated to the second wife, and most definitely not related to the first wife. Then they came and told him, Mesa, that fourth wife, died. And he went and he married her maternal sister, which was unrelated to the third wife. Then they told him, and it comes out, the Nimtzu Kulan Kayamas. Actually, they were all alive. It was a mistake. All these five reports of deaths were unfounded. So what's the halacha? So Mishnah tells us, Mutabirishaina ubishlishis ubachamishis. He's allowed to maintain in marriage the first original wife that he had, the third one, and the fifth one, because all these three women are unrelated. Hence, you could be married to as many women as long as they're not relatives. Now, Rashi points out, although the third wife is the sister of the second one, that's permitted because the second one's kedushin was never teifis, because she was achis isha, the sister of the first wife that he had, who he was married to. Now, what that comes out is that essentially that second wife was really like a woman out of wedlock, like a woman that he violated, that he seduced, where the Gemara says in the coming daf, Daf Tzadik Zayin, that if a man violates a woman, he's actually permitted in her relatives to marry her daughter. Because the Torah only makes forbidden the achis isha, the sister of your wife. Now, since the second one kedushin wasn't typhus, because she was the sister of your original wife, so therefore it's not a wife, and hence the third one, although it's the sister of the second one was never your wife, so the third one's permitted, and so do the fifth one. Even though the fifth one is the sister of the fourth one, is permitted because since the condition of the third one was typhus, so it comes out the bia of the fourth one was the sister of the third one, could not have been condition, rather be as nus, and therefore the fourth one doesn't make the fifth one forbidden. So you're married to the first, the third, and the fifth. Upaitres tzare sehen. And these women will exempt the co-wives, and that is if, let's say, this man dies, and then the Yavim comes and does Yibim to either the first, the third, or the fifth, will exempt the other co-wives. But v'aser b'shniu b'rivias, the man is forbidden in the second and the fourth wife. Second one because it's the sister of the first one. The fourth because it's the sister of the third one. And similarly, v'im b'yas achas men b'teres rasa, the Yavim doing bia with either the second one or the fourth one won't be accomplishing anything because they're not considered from the wives of the first man. He's only married to the first, the third, and the fifth. Now, the Mishnah says with a slight variation, if let's say the cohabitation, meaning the marriage he had with the second one, was after the first one had already died. In other words, it turns out that it really was true, the report regarding the death of the first wife. It's only the other four reports that were false. Then the halacha shifts. Mutter b'shnei b'rivias, so he's permitted in the second one because she wasn't anymore his wife's sister when his wife was alive. She was already dead. You're allowed to marry the sister-in-law after she's dead. So you're married to the second one, not the third, but rather and the fourth. So the second and the fourth he's permitted in. Upaitis tzare sehen, and if the Yavim would do Yibim with those two, it would exempt the other wives. But v'aser b'shlishis, he's forbidden in the third one because of the second one. V'chamishis in the fifth one because of the fourth one. And v'im b'yis achas men b'teres terasa, and the bia of either the third or the fifth would not exempt the other co-wives because he was never halachically married to them, because since the first one had died, the second one he was married to and the fourth, not the third and the fifth. Now the Mishnah transitions into a different halacha, which speaks about the halacha for the next Mishnah is regarding a yavam katan, a minor yavam. So the Mishnah tells us, ben tesha shana v'yem echad. a boy that's 9 years old, who paisal de achen, his bia will invalidate the brothers, va'achen paisal yadai, and the brothers can invalidate his relationship to the yavama. But the difference between them is, although we're considering what they do as significant in the sense that it'll be problematic for the other brothers, but elahu paisal tchila. Thing is that the yavam katan will only make a problem for this yavama to the other brothers only if he does his bia first, but not if it would come at the end, as the Gemara will explain. But va'achen paislin tchil v'slev, but the brothers, their bia will be a problem for whether it's in the beginning and then thus not allowing the other brothers to do it, or even if it comes at the end. As the Mishnah explains, kesad, what would be the case that explains this? If you have a ben tesha shana b'yim echad shabal yavimta, so if he started off, the first one to do an act in the yavama was the minor brother, and he did bia, so pasul de'achen. He made a problem now for the brothers. They can't go ahead and do yivam anymore once he did bia. Now, if bo la'achen, now if the brothers come ahead and they do bia, meaning even after the first brother, the minor brother had done bia, later comes the brothers and they do bia, meaning besayiv, or vasul maimer, or they did a maimer, or nasnu get, or they give a get, or ichalso, they do chalitza, they'll make a problem for the younger brother who started first, even though they're doing it at the end. And the reason is because the bia of a katan is not a full-fledged acquisition, although generally once you do bia in the yavama, that's it, you acquired her. Since he's a minor, actually he doesn't have a halachic marriage, it's just that in the context of yibum, since there is a zika even to a minor yavam, our sages gave it a status of a rabbinic type of an acquisition, which essentially is what we consider for these sugyas as a mimer, which a mimer is the same idea, which is a rabbinic type of an acquisition, even for an adult. As the Gemara said on the Afnun Amud Aleph, that a mimer or a ged or a bia or a chalitza could be chal, could take and acquire in the yavama even after a mimer was done. So since the bia of the yavam katan is essentially like a mimer, so the other brothers could go ahead and interfere with his acquisition of the yavama with any one of these four ways, even lebesayif. But the yavam katan could only do his part in the beginning. If the brother, let's say, did a bia and then he would come and do a bia afterwards, it wouldn't take any effect whatsoever. Now the Gemara mentions, by way of clarification, that the middle case, the second case that we mentioned, and when there's all these sisters, part sisters that were married, all these five women. So it said that if it was la'achar misis arishayna, that he was ba'al ashniya, so then the second one's marriage was valid. So second and fourth that he remains with, and not the third and the fifth. So the Gemara asked, atu kulu lav la'achar misis rishayna, and aren't all the cases, meaning even the reisha, talking about that they were after the death of the first one? What are we saying that the second one was married after the first one? So Rav Sheshes, he means la'achar misis rishayna vada. It means after the definite death of the first one. Meaning, yes, the other cases were talking about that we thought she was dead. Turns out she's not. That's why, like in the Reisha, is permitted to the first, third, and fifth, not second and fourth. What we meant in that case was that if it turns out that the first one actually was dead, then the marriage to the second and the fourth were valid, and not the third and the fifth. Now the Mishnah said, moving into the next sugya, ben tesha shana mechulu, that regarding a 9-year-old Yavam, he'll be paisel esa'achen. So the Gemara explains the Mishnah. Ben tesh ha-shon b'yamechad, regarding a boy that's 9 years old in one day, t'chila pasel, as we said in the Mishnah, only in the beginning could he make an impact regarding all the brothers in the Yavama, to invalidate them, since he started. B'slav lay pasel, but at the end he cannot invalidate, and that is if, let's say, first, an adult brother did a mimer before the cohabitation of the 9-year-old. So then the bia of the 9-year-old will not take effect and be paisel regarding the first brother, the adult brother that already made a mimer. On that, the Gemara asks, but b'tan rav zid b'reb oishya, he says clearly, ha'isa mimer b'yavimtai, if an adult brother does a mimer in his yavama, v'achach ba'achiv shu ben teshon b'yam echad olah, and then a minor brother goes and does cohabitation with the yavama, pasla, he does invalidate her regarding the first older brother who did a mimer. That seems to contradict the inference we have from our Mishnah. So Amidei said that bia, the bia of a 9-year-old, you're right, pasla fila b'soif, will invalidate even at the end, meaning even if an adult brother did a mimer first, if the minor brother does bia, he will invalidate. However, Maimer, it's what we're talking about, the Maimer of a 9-year-old, if that's Tchila Pasul, if that's in the beginning, that can, only then it could invalidate. Besides Lay Pasul, but if let's say an adult brother did a Maimer, and although if another adult brother did a Maimer, it would make a problem, the minor's Maimer, which comes besides after the adult brother, will not invalidate. But his Bia will. Now the Gemara asks, how can you say that? Well, Bia Afilu B'Saif Pasul, is it really true that the Bia of a cotton will Pasul even if it comes at the end? But Vaktani, we learned in our Mishnah, Elishu Paisal Tchila. It's just that, although it seems like we're comparing the Bia of a cotton to a Bia of a Gadol, the difference is that, but a minor will only be Pasul in the beginning, but the adult brothers, their Bia could make a problem for the other brothers, whether it's the first thing done or even the later thing. Kate, so our Mishnah says, how what would the case be? Regarding a 9-year-old that was Baal Yevimtoi, now what we see the Mishnah is describing that the halacha of bitchila that a Yavam can have says it only in the context of Bia. So you see that the tchila that the Yavam has, the Yavam cotton, is Bia, and it's only in the beginning. Not like the Gemara is trying to answer for Azud Rebbe that no, in the beginning it could even be Maimer. And Bia, that could even be Libsaif. Our Mishnah seems to indicate that no, it's only what could be done in the beginning is only with Bia, and that it can't be Libsaif. So I think my answer is Chasur Machzor Bachakitani. There are words missing in our Mishnah, and this is the way you have to read it. And that will answer the question under Azud Rebbe Isha. The Mishnah says, Ben Tesh Hashem Beim Echad, a 9-year-old Yavam, who plays Tzchila? Yes, as it says, that he invalidates only in the beginning, and they place in Tzchila B'Saif, and they can invalidate the adult brothers, whether beginning or end. Now that, what these are the words that are missing, B'Medvamum, when did we say this? That's B'Maimer. Av Bia Paiselas of Hil B'Saif, but the Bia of even a cotton can be possible even at the end. Keitzad. Bentes, Shana Biyam Echad, Baal Yevimtoi, a 9-year-old boy, that's Baal Yevimtoi, that's Pasal De'achad, meaning in other words, since we're inserting words, now when we're saying this Ketzad, this is not going back anymore as we had assumed it was going regarding that discrepancy between the Yavam Katan and the Yavam Gadol. Rather, what it's saying is that if the brothers, an adult brother, first did a Maimer, that is what we're saying, that even after that, the Bia of a 9-year-old could still Pasal that all the brothers Maimer, because the Ketzad is going on this last case which we're inserting, which was the Chesur Mechsura, that he could be Pasal B'Biyasai, where that is even L'Bisayif, and that's what we're describing, that the Bia is not just on the Tchila, as our reading of the Mishnah would have it, but it's even L'Bisayif, and therefore that's exactly like Rav Zudber Reish had said, that the Yavim Katan, his Bia, even at the B'Saif, will invalidate the adult and make it problematic for the adult brothers, Maimer they did it in the beginning. Now, the Gemara asks on this brayse that we just quoted, Umi islay, and is it true that there is for a Yavim Katan Maimer Klal, that he ever has a Maimer to invalidate Adi Achen, to make a problem for the brothers, as Rav Reisha had taught, and not like as our version of the Mishnah has it, it only has Bia in the beginning, but he even could invalidate with his doing a Maimer, at least in the beginning. But by time, the brayse that says, regarding a 9-year-old Yavam, who paisel b'davar echad, he could only invalidate in one format. And the brothers can make a problem through four ways. Who paisel de achen b'bi, he could only make a problem for his brothers, the adults, only if he does crepitation. But the brothers can make a problem with bia, Maimer, get and chalitza. So you see, there's only one way with Bia, not like Grizzuda's teaching, that it can be done even with Maimer, if it's at least in the beginning. I think Gemara answers no. Bia, the pasla be metchila ben b'saif, psikale. As we said, Bia, it has effectiveness, whether in the beginning or at the end, so that's a general rule that you could say that he always has that. Maimer, the betchila pasul b'saif loy pasul psikale. But regarding Maimer, which he doesn't always have, he could only make a problem with them if it's in the beginning and at the end, and therefore they didn't say it as a general category that he has. That's why he mentioned only Bia. But he does have Maimer if it's in the beginning. It menami, similarly, like we learned the way we're answering now. Amar Yehuda Mishmol, yesh leget, the Yavam Katan has a get. In other words, he can invalidate for the brothers if he started off by giving a get where he will make it what's called Kibun Shalei Bona, once they didn't build because they started destroying, because the get is already rejecting her, so Shabla Yivna, no one else could go ahead. So we see that he does have other ways, not just a Bia, they just didn't mention them because they're not valid at the end, but in the beginning you even have a get. He does have a Maimer, he has a get. If he starts off with these things, he could invalidate the brothers. Tanam Ha'ochazim learned the Braisa. Yeshle get, Yeshle Maimer, the very Meir Meir holds, you have both of these elements, even if you have them cut. On that, the Gemara asks, "B'sabre Meir Yeshle get, is it true that a Meir holds that a Yavim cotton, he has a halachic validity with his get to impact the brothers regarding the Yavama? But by Tan, you learn the Braisa. The Tanakama says, Asu bias ben tesha kamayim begadol, as we said that that's the general standard that we give for a bia of a 9-year-old. It's only rabbinic type of an acquisition, which is similar to what a gadol has with his maim. Remeir, I mean, he says the following halacha. Says asu chalitzas ben tesha. They equated when a 9-year-old does chalitza. I mean, when an adult brother does chalitza, so then it's over. No one has anything more to do with the yavama. She goes, she can marry whoever she wants to. But a 9-year-old, when he does chalitza, they considered it enough to reject, but only as much as keget begadol. How much when an adult gives a get, where that only invalidates her from ever having given with the brothers, but she's not totally free as if chalitza was done to her. But one thing we see is that a 9-year-old's chalitza will be like an adult's get, which will make a problem for the other brothers doing given, but you're not free, so you still need to have chalitza. So too is the halacha of a 9-year-old's chalitza that it will not exempt her that she can go ahead and marry someone else, but she will be puzzled. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, "V'im isan, if it's true, like we said before, the Remeya holds that Yavim Katan has a get and a maimer, so then he should have said a bigger chiddush. Why say that the Yavim Katan's chalitza is like an adult's get? Listen to Kigito, you say like his own get. You're saying that the minor Yavim has a get. So why compare it to an adult's get?" So I think Gemara says, "Now Amar Avuhin the Berei de Bishua, Islay." Truth is, as Remei was quoted before, he holds that the Yavim Katan has a get, but Vizuter, it's less potent than an adult's get. Now, what we're saying is, when an adult gives a get, so there's a certain amount of rejection that goes in that no one could go ahead and build it anymore, and that's the same thing what will be by a minus chalitza. But the reason why we didn't say kigito like his own get is because his get is not like an adult's get. We're trying to say how powerful his chalitza is, which will be like an adult's get. And if we compared it to just his own get, which he has, it wouldn't be giving the full justification of what his chalitza does, which is even more powerful. Now, the Gemara explains right now, where do we find a deficiency regarding his get in contrast to an adult Yavam's get? So the Gemara explains. The Rim Gamliel, the Amar that he says, in get ach get, he's on record as saying that if one brother gives a get, then let's say another brother gives a get, or in another yavama, the other get does not have any effect. Only one can work. So now that's what the qualification is. That's only if an adult gives a get. That the second adult's get is nothing. Or if a katan acha katan, if a minor gives a get, then the second minor's get is nothing. But that's what we're saying, the deficiency in the minor's get, although it's rejecting, but it's not even such a strong rejection, and therefore on another adult's get will still take an effect. Now, what's the relevance will be that he'll be forbidden in the Yavama's relatives because he actually, it's like a get that was given on some level, but it's only because it was a katan's get that the adult get can have an effect, even though you usually say in get ach get. According to Rabbanon, the Amar Yesh get ach get, that they say you always could have a get ach get. Now, that's Hanamil of Gadach Gadol, or Ibekat Nachakatan. Abakat Nachakatan Lemahani, even they that they hold that you could have a get achaget, it's only the same potency. But if an adult gave a get and then a minor gave a get, that's not even on the same level as the first get, and therefore, let's say that minors will not be forbidden in the Yavama's relatives, and that's what we're saying that although Remeya holds that a Yavam Katan has a get, we didn't want to compare his chalitza to his own get because that wouldn't be giving the same power that we were giving it if, as we're saying, that you give it to the get of a gadol, because the get of a katan is less potent than the get of a gadol. Now, we're continuing to Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme, talking about a Yavam Katan, a minor Yavam. So the Mishnah tells us, Ben Tesh Shonav Yem Echad, regarding a 9-year-old Yavam, Shabal Yavimter, that he has bia with his yavama. Let's say it's a twin. Then you have another 9-year-old brother that's ba on that same yavama. So the Mishnah tells us, Paisel al Yadoi, the second brother now passes the first brother's bia, the 9-year-old brothers that he did with the Yavama. And the reason is, as we were saying before, essentially in Halacha, a bia of a 9-year-old is the same as what would be a maimer for Gadol. Now, the opinion is like the Rabbanan that there's a maimer, acha maimer, the second maimer could take effect. And since they're both taifas, so the second one's maimer will also take effect. Now, as Rashi explains, since now you need a get from the second one because his maimer is valid, so once you get a get from him, now you can't maintain the first one's relationship with the Yavama, because once it's already loibana, once you already started destroying by rejecting it with a get, so then shuv lo yivna, the first one, can't go ahead and build anymore and then consummate the relationship when he becomes an adult. Pshimon argues. He says that the second brother, the second 9-year-old's brother's bia, will not invalidate the first brother's relationship with his yavama that he had bia with, as the Gemara explained the reason. Now, but one thing Rashi points out is that it has to be talking about that the second brother's bia with the yavama was by mistake. He didn't realize it's an issa. Because if it was deliberate, then as the Gemara says in Masechet Nisnida, daf mem and aleph, that a bia of a 9-year-old is a halachic bia. And that makes a woman, if she has a relationship when she's married, or some type of prohibited relationship with a 9-year-old, she'll get killed because of that bia. And therefore, of course, that would invalidate the yavama to the first brother. It's just talking about a dumb b'shoigig, which is not coming from the halacha of his nus, and therefore it would just be coming based on the halacha of yibum. And that, as I will explain, Shimon holds that no, if the bia of the first one's a bia, then the second one's bia will not be considered halachically a bia in the context of yibum to make a problem for the first brother. Similarly, the Mishnah says, Bentesh shonu b'yam echad shabal yavimta. Regarding, again, the same type of a case, a 9-year-old yavam has bia with his yavama. Then, instead of another brother doing it with her, v'achach ba'al tzarasa, that same yavam goes, and he thinks his brother died without any children, so he takes all his wives. He goes and then does bia with the co-wife. Then paisel, what he does now is that he invalidates the first one that he had bia with, al yidei atzmo, onto himself. Now, definitely he's going to be prohibited in the second one, in what we're calling the tzara, because the halacha is, regarding bia, regarding yibum, it's only bayis echad u'bayna and bein bayna shnei batim. You can't do bia, you can't do yibum to both. So obviously, once you did bia to the first one, the second one's forbidden to him. But moreover is that, since the first one that he did bia with is not a full-fledged kinyan, as we said, it's just like the status of what a maimer would be, so the bia he has with the second co-wife would affect to require a get from that type of a bia. And once you give a get, so then again, as we said before, that even Shalaybana, once he started rejecting the wives of his brother, then Shablayivna, he can't go back and consummate the relationship that he started with the first one. And again, here the Mishnah concludes, Rav Shimon Amar, Lei Paisli, holds that no, that the bia that he has with the tzara will not invalidate him on the first yavama that he already did bia with. Now the reason is, as Igmar will explain, is because Rav Shimon holds that the bia of a 9-year-old, it's not like the Rabbana hold that it acquires partly, but it leaves over a remnant so that, yes, it's an acquisition, but that another yibum, another bia, or another maimer could take effect. Rather, Shimon holds that what a maimer does, or what a bia of a 9-year-old does, which is halachically the same thing, is what's called, it's doubtful if it acquires or if it doesn't acquire. Now, as Rashi explains, if it acquires, it's a full-fledged kinyan. And therefore, of course, his brother's bia with his yavama, or his own bia with the tzara, would not go ahead and have any acquisition because it's already fully acquired. And if it's not an acquisition, so then it's like as if he never did bia with the first one, not with the first one, not with the second one, therefore he would still be permitted in the first one because his halachic maimer would still be there because the bia is not a valid bia. Now, but as Rashi points out, most definitely you cannot stay with the second one because like the other side of the suffix is that maybe the bia he had with the first one is a full acquisition and therefore the second one would be usa because you can't build beis batim, and once you already built the first one, you cannot build the second one. As the Gemara explains, time learn the braisa. Rishon explains his opinion to the Chacham. He says, look, in Bia Rishon the Bia, if the first Yavam's Bia with the Yavama was a Bia, they're both 9 years old, then Bia Shnei in a Bia. Then the second one's Bia is not a Bia, as we learned in Daf Nunamet Aleph, that ain't Bia Achar Bia. And here, the second one's Bia is like a random person doing Bia, and as we explained already in the Mishnah, Rashi said, since it's Toma that it was Bishagi, so she's going to be permitted to remain with her first Yavam. And then B, Rishayna ain't a B, and if the first one's B is not a B, it doesn't hold it somewhere in the middle. It says either or. Yes, it's doubtful, but it's either or, and if it's not a B, well then B is Shnihanami and a B, then the second brother's B is also not a B. So either way you look at it, the first one will still maintain his permission for the Yavama. Now the Gemara points out that Masnit in our Mishnah, that for the Tanakama, considers this Bia as a Mimer, as we learned that that's why the Tanakama holds that the second one will make the first one forbidden, because it's what you call Mimer Acha Mimer. Now, our Mishnah didn't differentiate between the Reisha and the Seifa, where you have one Yavam with two Yavamas like in the Seifa, or one Yavama and two Yavams in the Reisha. Must be our Mishnah is Deloike Benazai. Because the Talmud in the Braisa, Benazai, he says yes. Yesh Mimer Acha Mimer. You could have, which again in the relevance of our Mishnah, talking about a B of a 9-year-old after a B of a 9-year-old. But that's only b'shnei yavam and v'yavam achas. That halacha only applies when you have two yavams with one yavam, like the case of Aresha, where both yavams initially, in regards to halacha of zika, are the same, they're equal. Now, the maimer of the first brother is not a full-fledged kenyan, because the Torah tells you, you have to do a bia, and a bia of an adult, and the Rabbanan said, but still that the maimer should acquire, and that's for rabbinic concerns, as the Gemara said in Daf Nun Beis. Now, therefore, that doesn't take away from the second Yavam's Mimer, because each one, Chazal instituted that they get a Mimer, and since it's not a full-fledged Kenyan, so that leaves over something for the second one. However, Benazi says, but V'ei Mimer Acha Mimer, but we do not say that the second one's Mimer could take effect after the first one's Mimer, B'shtei Yavamas V'Yavam Echad, when there's one Yavam and two Yavamas, because there, it's the Yavam that has a certain amount of power that it could do with a Mimer, and they really use that up with the first one. And therefore, that already rejected the second one. He can't go ahead and do a mimer in the second one because he already used that up. And therefore, actually, in that case, Benazir would hold that the bia he's doing with the second one, which again is the equivalent as doing a mimer with the second one, would not invalidate the mimer or the bia's bentes that he did with the first one. Therefore, Amishnah, who says it is possible, is obviously not like Benazir. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on the theme of a yavam katan, a minor yavam. So the Mishnah says, "Ben tesha shana v'yem echad shebo al yavimta." Regarding a 9-year-old yavam that has bia with his yavama umes, and then he dies. Now the halacha is chaletzes v'lo mesabemes. The other brothers do chalitz in her and not yibum. Now the reason is because this woman now has what's called a zika of two yavamin from her original husband and from this minor yavam that did bia on her, but as we said before, halachically we view it as if he did Mimer in her, because he was only a minor when he did Bia. So therefore, that never totally removed her first Zika from the first husband, yet still a new Zika fell from the second husband because he ultimately gave her Mimer, which again is really the Bia of a 9-year-old. Now as we learned in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Perek Arba Ach and Aflam Aleph from Abayz, that any Yavama that has a Zika of two Yavams, that's going to be a problem, because they learn that from a pasuk that you have to have a zikas yavam echad and not zikas shnei yavamin. Now, but still she requires chalitza, because actually this second zika is only rabbinic, because this fact that we consider this yavam katan at all creating a zika when he dies for the other brothers is only rabbinic halacha, because biblically you have to have a bia of an adult and he's just a minor. Now the Mishnah continues with a different halacha regarding the yavam katan. Nasa Isha, if a minor who nothing to do with the Yavama, just marrying a regular woman, and he has brothers, umeis, and then this minor dies, harezu petura. This wife, although the bia of this minor 9-year-old is halachically considered like a bia, as we see this relevance regarding the halach of yibum, but his kedushin is not a kedushin. A katan will not acquire a woman in marriage until he has two sires ba'isimokim. And since he's only 9, he's not acquiring her as a wife. It's only regarding Yibum that we say that since his Bia is a Bia, which that's really the criteria that's necessary for Yibum, so the Rabbanan gave him a rabbinic type of an acquisition if he does Bia. But in such a case, she's going to be exempt from Yibum and Chalitza because they were never halachically married. Mishnah moves on with another halacha. Ben Tesha Shonim V'Yamechat Shebal Yevimtei. Again, regarding a 9-year-old Yavam that was Baal Yevimtei. Now, Umisha Higdal, so everyone let him go ahead, although it wasn't fully done, but everyone let him keep that Yavama. Now, Umisha Higdal, when he became an adult, Nasi isha acher sameis. He married another woman and then he died. So the Mishnah says, im lo yada es rishoyin mishah higdil, if he never was intimate with the first wife, meaning the Yavama, who he had married, quote, meaning he did Yibum when he was still a minor, and he never cohabited with her after he became an adult, so harishayna chaletzes v'lemes yabemes. Similar to the halacha we said before, the first one will have chalitza and not Yibum, because she still has zikas beis Yavamin, because since he never was intimate with her after he became an adult, so she still has the zika from the first husband, because his bia that he did with her as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, but not after he became an adult, is essentially like a mimer. A mimer, and then you die, then you still have the zika of the first one. So it's chaletzev lemesebemes. But vashniya chaletzev lemesebemes. But the second one is a full-fledged wife, and then he dies without any children. So then the brothers do chalitza or yibum, whichever one they want to. Now, Shimon Amihi argues, he says, meyabim le'ezer sheyirtza. The brothers could do yibum to whichever one they want to, even to the first one, because he doesn't hold of this halacha of what's called zikas shnei yavamin, as we said before, because he holds that either it's a kinyan or it's not a kinyan. It's not like a partial kinyan that, oh, you could have both of their zikas. It's either yes or no, and that's the same machlekes Reb Shimon has over there in Perek Arba Achin, when there's a first brother that dies without any children, and the second brother does mimer, and then he dies, essentially the same discussion, either it's totally kinyan or not, but not somewhere in the middle. And however, v'chalitz l'shnia, you do have to do chalitza to the, meaning you do whichever yibum you want to, but you do chalitza to the other one. The reason is because they're not really tsaris, or at least not definitely tsaris, to make one exempt with the yibum of the other one. The reason is because maybe his bia was nothing. It's either all or nothing. Now, however, you can't do yibum to both of them, because, again, we're saying that there is a partial tsara over here through the rabbinic mimer, which is, again, the same as a bia of a 9-year-old, which then people are going to say that you could have two yavamas coming from one bias, and they're both having yibum, which, although they're not, really, one's from the first one, one's from the second one, because if it's not, it's not, or if it is, it is, still, it looks like it's from the same bias, and that's why you would have to chalitza to the second one. Now, the Mishnah concludes, Echad shu ben teshon v'yim echad. The halachas of our Mishnah that we set up until now applies whether, as we were saying, a 9-year-old, or ve'echad shu ben esim, or could even be for a 20-year-old, if it's shelo hevish de Cyrus, if he never brought yet two Cyrus b'esimokim, because a 20-year-old that didn't bring Cyrus is also considered a katan, and therefore he has the same halachas that his bia is like an adult's maimer, again, whatever the halachas we said before. Now the Gemara explains the reish of the Mishnah. Amar Rava, he says, Hadam Rabbanan, this the Rabbanan said, that Zika Shne Yevamin, this halacha of when there's a Zika of two Yevamin, meaning the first husband that died without any children, and then the second who was a minor, who did Bia, who again is like a Maimer of a Gadol, so that she's, and then he dies, so it's like Zika of two Yevamin, that Mechlitz Chaltzel Yevum Lamiyavma, that you have to Chalitztar and not Yibum. So Rava qualifies this halacha, he says, Loi Tema, don't say that it's only Hechad de Ikat Sara. Only where that there is a co-wife of this second one. Meaning, for example, like the case we have in Arba Achen, there the Mishnah describes a case of three brothers who marry three unrelated women. And then it says that one brother died without any children. The second one did a mimer and then he died. So there the Mishnah said, so you have to do chalitza and not yibum. Now the Gemara said that if this Isra of what we call, as the Gemara brings a pasuk over there, that the Isra of the Zikas Beis Yevamin is biblical, so why do you say that you do chalitzatar and not yibum? We understand you can't do yibum, but why do you even do chalitza? So that the Gemara answers that that's for rabbinic reason. Now, the Gemara there at length says that, what do you mean? That if they're really from two different batim, that it's not biblically as if it's a zikas beis yevamin, that she's really coming from the zika of original husband, and her co-wife is really from a different husband, so then you should be able to do yibum to both of them. On that, the Gemara says that, that's a gezeira because the ikul migzim shem tsara, that you can make a decree and be concerned for the co-wife, and that is, because people are going to say, wait a second, you have two yavamais, meaning two tsaras coming from the same house who are doing yibum. Now, they're not going to know that the maimer of the second one wasn't really an acquisition of the first one, and that is the zika that she really has from the first husband, a different husband, and the second one, the co-wife, from a different one, and that's why you're doing yibum to both of them. But it's not really from the same bias, but the Gemara there says that no. This problem of what we call Zikas Beis Yevamin is because that then people are going to think that you could take her co-wife, what we're calling the Tzara, meaning two Yavamas from the same bias, which obviously is also because you could only be buying the bias echad v'loy beis batim. Now that is what Rava qualifies, and he says obviously the halacha is not limited to only when you have a co-wife, because the halacha like it's sorry here our Mishnah doesn't mention anything about a co-wife; it just mentions one yavama, and yet still our Mishnah says mechletz chaltsi yavama lemiyavma that you could do chalitza and not yibum. So although the Gemara there seems to be describing that the halacha is only when there's a co-wife, because there's no real problem of Zikas Beis Yavamin. It's only because that since that it seemed like that they were co-wives, because the second brother had done a Maim and then died, and if you're going to go ahead and do Yibim to both of them, although the first one's really from the first brother and the second one's from the second one, it's going to look from the same one. Obviously, that's not limited to only when there are two co-wives. It's even when there's not, when there's just one, because our Mishnah is clearly talking about a case when there's only one Yavama and still it makes a problem in Zikas Beis Yavamin. Now, the Mishnah said, if Nasif, the minor, marries the Isha, or Mason, then he dies. So the Mishnah said that the brothers are exempt from doing Yibim Chalitza because they were never halachically married, although that his Biyah is a Biyah. So the Gemara says, Tanin Lohad the Tanaban, this supports what we learned in the Braisa, that Shaitav a Katan Shenasu b'Mesu, if someone that's deranged or a minor that got married to a woman and then they died, that's just saying, Peturis ben Chalitza Yibim, their wives are exempt from Chalitza Yibim because they weren't biblically considered married to mandate Yibim and Chalitza. Now, the third case the Mishnah described was Ben Tesha b'chulu, regarding a 9-year-old Yavam that was Bal Yavim, Al Yavim Toy. Then Mishnah Higdal b'chulu, then when he got older, when he became an adult, he married another woman, but he was never intimate with the first wife, meaning the Yavama that he had. He was only born her when he was a cotton. So on that, the Mishnah said, the second wife, you could do either Yibim or Chalitza, because it was a full-fledged wife. The first one, you don't do Yibim. And the reason is, as we said, because it's like the Zikas Beis Yavman type of a wife. Now that, the Gemara asks, but V'yasu Bias Ben Tes, we should consider that, you're right, this Yavam only did Bia with this Yavama when he was younger, not when he became an adult. But we should make his Bia in the Yavama, Kamaimer Begodla, as we were equating in this whole sugya, it has the same halachic validity as an adult's Maimer. Now if that's the case, well then Betitchad Sarah, that should reject his full-fledged wife that he married when he was an adult, Miyibum, from having Yibum. In other words, just like we learned in Perek Dalet Achen, where the Mishnah says, Hare Elu Chaltzis, they are Chaltzis, which says that even his Shimon's full-fledged wife, meaning when we had three brothers, each married to a different woman, and then the first brother died without any children, the second brother did a maimer, then he died without any children, that we say that both of them, even his full-fledged wife, can't do yibtu, you do chalitza, because she's what's called a tsara, a co-wife of a woman that has zikas beis yavamin, and just like the woman that has zikas beis yavamin is exempt, so a woman that's exempt exempts her tsaras. So the question is, why did our Mishnah say Shnia could do chalitza or yibum when it seems clearly from the Mishnah Perek Dalet Achen that if you're a tzara of a woman that zikas beis yavmin, you cannot do yibum to her? So Amar Rav, he says, Loi asu bias ben tes k'maimer b'gadol. We did not make, you're right, that's halacha by maimer by gadol. So though our whole sugya seemed to be saying that the bia of a minor is the same halacha as an adult's maimer, Rav says it's not exactly like that. Although an adult's maimer will make us think that it's a tzara's zikas beis yavmin, if it's a minor doing a bia, it's not the same, and therefore his wife, his full-fledged wife, actually could have yibum. Whereas the Shmuel Amar, he argues, he says, no, asu v'asu, they did make totally a bias ben tes, like a maimer b'gadol, and mechina Rabbi Yechon, asu v'asu. So therefore Rabbi Yechon asks, if that's the case, well then v'yasu. Well, then they should make it exactly like we learned in Perek Dalet Achen. And then the question is, so why does our Mishnah say that the brothers could do Yibum to the second wife, meaning to the full-fledged wife, if she is the Tsaras, Balas, Zikas, Beis Yavmin, which we say in Perek Dalet Achen, that she's forbidden to do Yibum to? That Rabbi Yechonin says, Tanoihi. So Machlekes Tanoim, how to qualify this halacha. As he explains, Hach Tana Darba Achen, the Tana in Perek Dalet Achen, the way he qualifies, and this was the discussion the Gemara opened up from Rava in explaining our Mishnah, is Gaza Mishum Tzara. That the reason why a woman that has Zikas Beis Yavmin, that really she's coming from her original husband, but the second Yavam did a partial acquisition, that of Maimer or Bias Ben Tes, it's the reason why she's forbidden to have Yibim done to her, is because of her co-wife, meaning because it looks like you would be miyabim two yivamas from one bias. Now that's why she becomes forbidden. Now vashmina begadol. So we taught that halacha regarding a gadol, meaning when he does a mimer, but v'vadim b'katan, the same thing would apply even when the katan does bia. And v'haydam a gadol. The reason why they picked over there in Perek Dal Arach in the case of a gadol, mishum b'gadol, they were told my case of an adult. But essentially, they hold that the reason for the iser is based on the tzara. That's the problem, because which one are you going to do it for? They look like two yivamas from one bias, and you can't do yivim to both. So therefore, we go ahead and we do chalitza to both. But the haitan, the hocha, as Rava said before, svirule asu, yes, they hold that we made the bia of a nine-year-old like the maimer of a gadol, but v'legazam im shem tzara, they don't hold that the reason why there's a iser of zikis beis yavim because of the co-wife, just because as the Gemara brings there a pasuk that you cannot do yibim to a woman that has two zikas, and therefore, like Rav had explained, it's going to be even when there is no tzara. Now, vashmin b'kat, we told you this halacha by a minor, but v'huadim a gadol, something would apply to when a gadol is doing a minor. The reason why we're picking our Mishnah case of a katan doing B is because of a katan kai. The whole stream of Mishnahis are talking about a minor, but that's why the Gemara answers that our Mishnah says that the tzara, the full-fledged wife, is going to be permitted, is because the Tana of our Mishnah holds that the Isser is not based on the Tzara, and therefore has nothing to do with the Tzara, it's just regarding the woman herself, and that's because, we learned it from a Pasuk, and therefore as nothing that won't impact the Tzara, she's not a Tzara of a Zikas Beis Yavmin, whereas again, there the Gemara learns that that's exactly the reason of the Isser, is because of the Tzara, so there they learned that the Tzara is going to be forbidden, and here they learned that Tzara is going to be permitted. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan, that Azra Rabbi Lazar, and Amal HaShemaita B'Medrash, he said over this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan that we made a bia of a bentes, like a mimer, and then we had the contradiction then between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Perek Dal Arach, and then the answer that it's Machlekes Tanoim, how to define the difference, this nuance in the Isra of Zikis Beis Yavim. Is it because of the Tzara, or is it because of the that woman herself, as we learn that from a pasuk? Now, but V'le Amr Lei, V'le Amr Mishmeid Rabbi Yechanan, he didn't say it over in Rabbi Yechanan's name. So Shem Rabbi Yechanan, Ikbar Rabbi Yechanan heard him, was very upset. Why didn't he say it over in his name when he was the one that started, that was Mechadish this Torah? So Oleg Abay Rabbi Amr Rabbasi, Rabbi Amr Rabbasi went to Rabbi Yechanan to appease him. Amr Lei, they said to him, wasn't there such a similar story to what's going on right now in the Shul of Tveria? That there was a discussion between Beneger Shiesh Berisha Glustra regarding a bolt that has a knob on the edge, meaning that the top of the bolt is thick, that's fit to grind garlic and to use for other utility, which is like a knob. Shenechel Kubai, where there was a machlekes regarding a yulada, close a door with it on Shabbos, between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Lazar held you're not allowed to close the door with it on Shabbos because it's like binyan, it's like building. Rabbi Yossi said it's permitted, and the reason is because we view this bolt as a status of a utensil which you're allowed to go ahead and move around. We don't view it as part of a building because it has a bolt, it has utility to use it for grinding garlic, things that you're allowed to use on Shabbos. Now, there was such a big machlekes regarding this debate, achakara sefer Torah b'chamasin, that they tore a sefer Torah in their anger, which the Gemara asks, would you think these great personages went and tore Sefer Torah in their argument? Elaim, rather, what the story was, Shenikra Sefer Torah b'chamasin, that due to this, that they maybe were pulling to show, lo, this daloch, this daloch, and they tore it in their anger, but although that wasn't what they meant to do, but let's see what ended up happening. V'hayisham Rebisim ben Kisman, Rebisim ben Kisman was there during that episode, and Omer, he said, Timiyani, he says, I wonder, if this shul is not going to end up being a place of idol worship. Actually, that's what happened. It turned into a base of avodah zarah. So they were trying to show Rabbi Yechanan, and they said, don't get so angry, see what happens when this happens. So how did Ikbet Tvei? Rabbi Yechanan got even more upset. He says, Amar Chavrusa Nami, what are you making my student as if he's my colleague? You're bringing me a proof from the story between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi, who they were chaver. Yes. When it's a chaver, you shouldn't get so upset. But my own student, that's not saying over a halacha in my name that I said? What do you mean? How could you compare from that story? So Oleg Abay Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi went to Rabbi Yechanan. Amalei, he said to him, a pasuk in Yeshua. The pasuk says, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe Abdi, just like Hashem commanded his servant Moshe, kein tziva Moshe es Yeshua, that's exactly what Moshe commanded Yeshua. And mechis b'chinas Yeshua, and that's what Yeshua did. Like heiser dove mikol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. He didn't move one drop from what Hashem had commanded Moshe. Now, so what the pasuk is saying, that whatever he did from what Moshe Rabbeinu had told him, even what he said without attribution, it was obviously that this was what Moshe Rabbeinu had told him. Now, the question is, do you think that everything Yeshua said, he said this is what Moshe said? You can't say that whatever he said this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And yet, in spite of that, the pasuk is testifying that it was all from what Moshe Rabbeinu had said. Ella, rather, Rabbi Yaakov Idi said, must be Yeshua Yeshiva Derishtam. Yeshua was sitting and it was darshaning Torah, he was saying over Torah. Now, he didn't say it was in Moshe Rabbeinu's name, but of Akol Yoidin, everybody knew Shetaresa Shemaisashi. Everyone knew that this was Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, because everything that Yeshua said was coming from his Rebbe. So that's what he told Rabbi Yaakov. He says, Afer Belazar Tamitcha, your student Rabbi Elazar, Yeshiva Derishtam, he just sits and expounds without giving the source of where it was from. But if I call Yoidin Kishal Chahi, everybody knows that it's yours. And if you don't have to be upset that he's not saying it in your name as if it's his own, everybody knows that it's coming from his Rebbe. Amalahem, Rabbi Yochanan said to all the other students, says, why don't you know to appease me like our friend Ben Idi, see how smart it was that he was able to show me that although I wanted it to be attributed to me, that everybody knows, and essentially it's me saying it through my student. Now the Gemara wonders, Rabbi Yochanan, my time at Kabar Kulhai, why was he so upset that someone didn't say over in his name the halacha that he had said, and he just said it plain? So the Gemara says, the Amar Yehuda Merav, because it's based on the halacha of Yehuda Merav. Because he says, Maidach said, what does it mean the pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech says, Agur ba'alecha ilamim, let me dwell in your tents forever. Now the question is, could a person dwell in two worlds? In other words, when he goes to the eternal world, how could he be here in this world? But rather, this is what David was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Nishal, a master of the world, he writes, and let it be your will, we continue the topic of Tzad Zayin and Aleph, that they should say over words of halacha, words of Torah teachings from my mouth in this world, so that my lips should be moving in the grave as if I'm alive. So of course he's not going to be alive, but he wanted that others should say over words of his of Torah, so that his lips should move and he should get that pleasure as if he's alive. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan wanted too, so that when he passes away, people are saying over his words, and he'll be, his lips will be moving, not Rabbi Elazar's lips. Rabbi Yochanan said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and this is Rabbi Yochanan himself, that any Talmudic scholar, that there's a Torah teaching being said over from his name in this world, his lips are moving in the grave. Now, Amar Yitzchok ben Zeira, Veitema, and some say with Shimon Azira, Micro. What's the pasuk that's the source for this halacha that Rabbi Yochanan so much wanted that pleasure to be alive, to be able to be saying over words of Torah that his lips should be moving even though he's in the Olam HaEmes? There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, V'chikech, which literally means your palate, meaning the words that come out of your mouth, Kiyein HaTayv, are like the good wine. Haylich l'daydi l'misham, they go to my beloved with sincerity. Daivev sivsi yeshenim, that they're moving the lips of those who sleep. Now, the Gemara explains, it's kekeimer shel anavim. It's like a pile of grapes, meaning that we're interpreting that daivev means that they're moving. It's like something that bubbles and comes, ferments to the top, where a kemer is a type of a vessel, it's a vat that they put grapes in until it gets hot. And the wine very easily comes out. Now, what the pasuk is saying is that ma kaimer shel anavim, just like this pile of heated grapes, kimen shemenich odem etzboi olav, as we're saying that it's yichikech, the words from your mouth are like the good wine, meaning just like how you make wine, you have a big pile of grapes, that kimen shemenich odem etzboi olav, once a person puts his finger on it, miyad daiviv, right away the wine starts bubbling out and comes out, ferments to the top. Av Talmid HaChacham, so to Talmudic scholars, Kim Sha'im Dvar Shmu Mipim Oil Mazem, once they say over a Dvar Halacha from them in this world, Sifsa Yisem, that's where the Pasuk ends off, David Sifsa Yisheinim, that Sifsa Yisem David is Bekever, that their lips are moving in the grave, that their words, their lips are saying over words of Torah, and that's Rabbi Yochanan was so upset. He didn't want it. He said a Dvar Chiddush that others are going to be saying over. He wanted to have that great reward that although he's no Eilim Emes, as David HaMelech had also asked the same thing, Agur Ba'alecha Ilamim, that when they're saying over the words of his Torah, his lips should be moving in the kever, which Rabbi Elazar did not do when he didn't attribute it to his name.